To Luke, the 11th chapter, beginning at verse 1. Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples." And he said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. For we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation.'" And he said to them, "Which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey and I have nothing to set before him.' And he will answer from within, 'Do not bother me, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his impudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. And I tell you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives, and the one who seeks, finds, and the one who knocks, to them it will be opened. What father or mother among you, if their son or daughter asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him?" This is the word of the Lord, and so we say, thanks be to God. Amen. We are in a new series on the 7 kind of classical, most important, perhaps, Christian disciplines. We're doing this because it is good to come back to this every so often, to be reminded that to live the Christian life is to embrace these disciplines. It is to walk with the Lord, not just on Sunday morning, but throughout our days, throughout our weeks, throughout our entire life. It's one thing to come on Sunday morning and to receive all that God is giving us, and that is good, and that is well, as we should do it. But as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 3, he says, "I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it." And so every so often it's good to be reminded that sometimes Sunday morning is like the milk. It's the basics. It's the most fundamental spiritual nutrition that we receive. But walking in these disciplines that we're going to be covering for the next several weeks is a bit like having that higher protein, that thicker, more bountiful spiritual meal on a regular basis. We're getting into the meat of the Christian life. And as a good Presbyterian and growing up Lutheran, I want to remind you all that none of these disciplines are what we do to make God happy. None of these disciplines are what we do to make God pleased with us or to earn our ways into God's good graces. The very definition of grace is that it is already given to us. Right? We have salvation. We have redemption. The disciplines that we're talking about, the disciplines that I'm encouraging you to walk in every day of your life, are not so that you could keep your salvation. We already have that. That is already guaranteed to us by Jesus Christ. The disciplines are so that we can enjoy everything that God has for us and to enjoy God Himself every day and in every possible way. So before we go any further, would you please pray with me? Lord God, we give thanks. We give thanks for every single person in this room, those who are weeks or months old, and those who are close to a century old. And everyone in between, God, we give thanks for their wisdom. We give thanks that you made them in your very image. And each of us as bearers, as unique bearers of God's image, have an important role to play in the life of the church, have an important role to play out in the world as you have called us to use our gifts and to go out. But for now, God, we want to know how to pray. We want to know how to be nourished and encouraged by you each day in our lives, not only through Scripture, but by connecting with you through prayer and the Holy Spirit. So we ask for that wisdom now, and God, we ask for your word to speak through me, and God, whatever I say that is not your word, may it fall and be crushed underfoot, but may your word preserve and keep us in your grace, Jesus. Amen. Okay, before we go into all the different kinds of prayer, I want to look at this scripture a little bit. We're going to talk about the Lord's Prayer again in just a little bit. Obviously, this version of the Lord's Prayer isn't the same as Matthew's version. And Matthew's version, while it's close to the version we just said, I don't know, 10 minutes ago, it's still not quite the same either, right? We have some Presbyterianness. We like to say debts instead of sins. There's kind of the glorification of God at the end, the ascription of God's glory and might and kingdom. But Luke's version hits the same major points. And as I said, as we were wrapping up the prayer time, Jesus is known, and you see it in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, especially in Mark and Luke, I think, that Jesus is often found, and it's always just like three or four words, right? It's not, the gospel writers don't make a big deal about it, but Jesus is often found to be starting his day in quiet prayer, or to be so tired and so kind of done with the crowds that he draws away to a quiet place to pray late at night. Now, does this mean that Jesus is an introvert? Maybe. Okay, like introverts in the congregation are going, yes, I resonate with that. Amen. I want to draw away to a quiet place. Can I get an amen? Amen. Okay, there's a few hands going up. Very good. Whether or not Jesus needed to recharge his social batteries after being with crowds all day, it's clear that prayer was a discipline for Jesus. It was something that he did in addition to all of the normal travel and work and ministry of the day-to-day life that he had with his disciples. And the disciples began to notice it so much that they were like, you know, we should ask him how to pray. Now, to be clear, with maybe one or two exceptions, all the disciples were Jewish young men or older men, Jewish men. There were women disciples too. But the point is that these 12 of his kind of inner circle knew how to pray, right? They'd been to the temple many times. They'd been to synagogue on a weekly basis, if not more so. They'd prayed through the Psalms. They knew the Shema and other traditional Jewish prayers. And yet, they're still seeing in Jesus something that they don't already know. There's some connection that Jesus has to God with prayer that they feel like they don't have. And so they go to Jesus and they ask him. They said, you know, Jesus, John taught his disciples prayers, how to pray in a different or maybe more important or more special or more powerful way. So teach us to pray. And so the implication is that at least some of what Jesus is teaching his disciples right here is also how Jesus himself prays, right? That's one of the reasons we call it the Lord's Prayer. Not only does Jesus teach it to them, but when prompted, he's teaching it to them because they're asking him, how do you pray? How do you pray? Now, this story, this first parable about bread, and it's interesting, right? We have Jesus mentioning daily bread in the Lord's Prayer, and now we have two parables about bread immediately after that. And the first one is very evocative. It's a little less, you know, directly correlational today because we have the 24/7 gas stations and Walmart and things like that. If we had a friend who was traveling for hours or days at a time to come to visit and got here at midnight, and our cabinets were completely empty. Also, we'd have refrigerators and all those kinds of things that they didn't have back then. We probably wouldn't go knock on the neighbor's door unless we were just really good friends with that neighbor, right? And say, hey, kids ate all the bread tonight. I just got a friend who showed up out of town, and he's been walking or riding all day, right? Can you spare a couple loaves? Do you have any leftover dinner that we could put out for him? Now, a couple things. Once again, we're talking about the ancient Near East. Hospitality is incredibly important. It's, you know, kind of your whole reputation is based on how you greet friends, strangers, visitors. You know, we see those stories throughout the Scripture of hospitality being given or not being given and the consequences that come from that. So hospitality is incredibly important, and there's an understanding that, you know, yeah, if you had a friend who just traveled all day to get here, and, you know, there was an ice storm, and they got here late, and now they're very hungry, and it's up to my personal reputation to feed them, to be a good host, right? I'll be willing to go knock on the neighbor's door because I smelled their bread baking, and I know their oldest kid is working two towns over, so some of that bread's probably left over. I could put some of that out, right? That's kind of the stage that Jesus is setting for this story, right? There's no gas station, there's no restaurant, there's no ability to whip up a quick batch of bread without it taking at least a couple hours, right? And so you go and you knock on the neighbor's door at midnight. And, you know, this was, again, the ancient Near East. Everybody didn't have their own individual bedrooms. Co-sleeping was a big thing back then, right? So the neighbor says, you know what? I'm already in bed. The kids are curled up between me and the wife. I'm sorry. It's a little too chilly. I don't want to get out of bed. I have the bread, but maybe you should go ask somebody else, right? And Jesus says, not because of the fact that they're friends, they're longtime neighbors. That's not what's going to get the guy out of bed onto the cold floor to give him the three loaves of bread. It's because the guy keeps knocking, right? He says because of his impudence, because he has become a nuisance, a bother, annoying, repeatedly doing this day or second after second, just knocking at the door. And Jesus tells us this because he knows that we are impatient people. We are an impatient people, and we are less likely to keep knocking when we don't see a result immediately. Jesus isn't saying that God is a reluctant, loving father, a reluctantly loving father who's not going to give us what we need. He's saying it's not necessarily going to come in the immediate moment that you want it and expect it. Right? So he's encouraging us to be disciplined, to keep knocking, not because God is taking his time and being reluctant, but because we don't operate on the same timeline that God, the infinite creator, operates. So be disciplined. Be impudent with your prayers. Keep going to God even when you don't immediately see that God is giving you something good. Ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you because God is good. And even you who are evil, and Jesus uses that term kind of loosely, right? He's not saying you're 100% wicked and there's no redeeming you, right? In fact, he's come to redeem you. He's saying that in relative comparison to God, right? He says, if God is good and you who are not so good know not to throw a snake at your kid when he asks for a loaf of bread or a scorpion at your daughter when she asks for a boiled egg, how much more is God going to give you exactly what he knows that you need? Amen? Amen. So we're going to talk about prayer. We're going to talk about how we can be knocking. Whoop. Okay. Great writer, Anne Lamott, wrote a book called Help, Thanks, Wow, and she's basically boiling down, all prayers can be boiled down to help, thanks, and or wow. Think about it for a second. Help, thanks, wow. Right, that's like, if you get nothing else from this sermon, you can write that down. That can be your main point, okay? We're going to talk about some of the classic, more textbook heading titles for different types of prayer. All right, there's confession. All right, in the category of help, thanks, wow, which one does confession fall into? Help, good. All right, A plus. When do we pray confession? Every day, that's a good answer. That's the answer the pastor wants to hear. How about, did we pray confession today? Yeah. Prayer of confession, early on in the service, right? Okay, what about supplication? Does anybody, supplication is asking for God to supply, right? It's asking for something personally. Once again, what category does that fall under? Help, thanks, wow? Help, okay. I hope you're taking notes. What about intercession? Intercession is praying on behalf of someone else. All right, so if you were joining me in any of the prayers of the people that we did as we passed the mic around, oftentimes we weren't even praying for the person holding the mic. We were praying for the person that knew the person holding the mic, right? So we're like interceding on behalf of Pastor David, praying on behalf of Susie, praying on behalf of Jimmy, right? We are interceding on multiple levels for these people in our lives, for these people that are connected to someone else's life, but we know that God loves them and we want good things to happen. We ask for God to intercede as we intercede on their behalf. Is that help, thanks, or wow? Help. Okay, so we've got confession, supplication, and intercession all fall under the category of help. All right, I hope you're taking notes. What about thanksgiving? Is that help, thanks, or wow? Thanks. That was a pretty easy one. That's a slam dunk, I know. When do we do Thanksgiving prayers? What's a good example of that? Before meals? Yeah? Avery's birthday. We give thanks for Avery and all the other folks celebrating milestones in their lives. The offering, absolutely. We give thanks not only that we have enough offering to keep the doors open, but that God is good to us in so many other ways. Yeah? Good? Adoration. Adoration. What does that mean? Adoring? Which category is that going to be? Wow, absolutely. Where do we see prayers of adoration, like in our Sunday bulletin, for example? Call to worship? Absolutely. That's probably the best place, the most routine place. There's also, it's not usually listed as prayer, but it's the thing that we do the most as a group besides prayer on Sunday morning. Right, worship, the singing, the hymns and the praise songs are mostly about adoration, right? When you sing those hymns, you are praying prayers of adoration. You are praying prayers of wow. Now, this is a little trickier, right? We're talking about prayers of meditation. We're going to get into this a little bit later just because not everybody's super comfortable or super trained in prayers of meditation. I'm going to teach you an easy one that you can use when you get home or in the car or wherever. Okay? And prayers of meditation can be any of the above. They can be supplication, intercession, thanksgiving, adoration, help, thanks, wow. They can also just be listening. They can be listening to God, and I would be willing to bet my entire pastoral career, past, present, and future, on the fact that in addition to things like the Lord's Prayer or the Psalms, Jesus spent quite a bit of time in meditative prayer, contemplative prayer. Okay, Lord's Prayer is printed in our bulletins, right? Hopefully. Yes? Okay, pull it up. I'm trying to see. I don't know where my bulletin is, so you're going to have to help me out here. Let's look at the Lord's Prayer and examine each. Oh, Melissa, thank you so much. Very helpful. Okay, first line, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Is that, which of those previous categories is that? We'll just do help, thanks, wow. Which one of those is that? Help, thanks, or wow? Wow, okay. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Help, thanks, or wow? Help? Absolutely. And it's a help that's both God help, right? We need your kingdom to come. We need your will to be done. I need your kingdom to come. I need your will to be done. But it's also I want to help others, right? You're saying I want to be a part of that, right? May your kingdom come in me and through me. All right? Give us this day our daily bread. Help. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Help again, right? So we started with adoration, with the wow. We've been in a lot of supplication, maybe a little bit of intercession. There's an understanding here that our daily bread means my daily bread and your daily bread. There's an understanding that my sins, my debts are forgiven in part because I am willing and wanting to be a part of God's forgiving kingdom, right? Both, I want to be in that kingdom, but I also want to be like a part of that kingdom moving outward, growing, right? And so I am going to forgive others as God forgives me. I am going to show grace and mercy and undeserved love to others because God has shown me grace and mercy and undeserved love, right? So it's help, but also help me as I want to be a helper in your kingdom. Lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. Help, thanks, or wow. Definitely help, and we're getting into kind of these final things, these matters of life and death, of what is most important in our spiritual lives forever, right? Deliver us from evil, lead us not to temptation. And finally, for the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours. Wow. Absolutely wow, right? We are adoring God. We are giving God the glory. We're saying, ultimately, God, this all belongs to you. You have made us. You have loved us. You have redeemed us. We want to give you the glory and recognize your goodness, both in our individual lives as we receive that daily bread, as we receive that forgiveness, and also as we pour it out as you have poured into us. All right? So, Jesus must have had something right because this one prayer includes a good bit of adoration, a lot of wow, a good bit of thanks, and a good bit of help. Jesus is a good teacher when it comes to prayer. Okay, so this is something that I don't even know how far back it was that I first learned it, but I've had people teach me more and encourage me, and I've taught it many times and encouraged others, and so I'm going to demonstrate it for y'all now. Centering prayer is a listening prayer. It's a meditative prayer, and there's really not a whole lot to it. Ultimately, it comes down to wanting to listen and look for the presence of God in your own life, in your own heart, your own mind, and your own spirit. It's not particularly challenging unless you are the type of person who likes to look at your phone every 5 seconds and think about something different every 4 seconds and get up and go do something new every 10 seconds. If you're like that, like me, this can be a very difficult prayer, but like any discipline, like any exercise, you get better at it the more you do it, okay? And so in addition to the Lord's Prayer or some other daily meditative or prayerful exercise, I would encourage you to try this out, to take this on, all right? And the trick is not to be so comfortable that you're going to fall asleep, right? But to be uncomfortable enough that you are freeing yourself from the distractions or the temptation to fall asleep, and you're uncomfortable enough to be focused on what God wants you to focus on, but not so uncomfortable that you have to fidget all the time. Okay, so usually in a pew or a chair or a stool, you want to kind of sit with your feet in front of you on the ground. You want to put your hands on your legs. You can maybe cross your arms. That would be okay. You want to close your eyes, and you want to take slower and deeper breaths than you normally would. As you do that, I would encourage you to think of a centering word, all right? And this doesn't need to be anything fancy. This isn't yoga. It's nothing like that. Your centering word could be Jesus. It could be amen. It could be help or thanks or wow. And as you sit, and I would encourage you to maybe set a deadline, an alarm, a goal time, maybe for a minute, maybe 90 seconds. If you're really good at sitting still and avoiding distractions, maybe you could start off even higher than that, but I wouldn't go too much higher for your first time. And as you take deeper breaths, and as you, if necessary, use your centering word, and I'm going to tell you what the centering word is for in just a second, the idea is to empty your mind, calm your brain enough that you are listening for what God is trying to tell you. And the trick is about 1 to 10 seconds, depending on your circumstances, you're going to think about what you need to cook for dinner or what's due this week at school, or what the boss said at work on Thursday before you left 5 minutes late or 5 minutes early or whatever. And when that happens, I want you to imagine that thought that's trying to interrupt your quiet listening prayer as a leaf that is drifting by on a creek. And you just acknowledge that thought and you let it drift back through your brain. You say, there it is, and there it goes. And you use the centering word, Jesus, Christ, amen, help, thanks, wow, whatever, to come back to being empty, right? To come back to just listening, okay? And if you can do that for a minute, chances are good that at the very least you've lowered your heart rate, you've spent time in prayer, and even if you didn't have a divine, the beams of heaven are shining down on you, revelation moment, you've had some quiet time with God. Maybe a passage of scripture popped into your head. Maybe someone for whom you should be praying popped into your head, and so you pray for them. And then after your centering prayer is done, you reach out to them. You send them an email or a text message or a phone call. And you say, hey, I know we haven't talked in a few months or years, but you popped into my head. And I want you to know that I'm praying for you, and I love you, and I hope you're doing well. Right? Centering prayer isn't necessarily some kind of, you know, it's not like I said, it's not yoga. It's not going to be this path to enlightenment. It's just quiet time with God, which is enlightening in and of itself. And so, once again, sit somewhere kind of comfortable but kind of uncomfortable. Close your eyes. Take deep breaths. Acknowledge the interrupting thoughts as they come and then let them go. Use a centering word if you need to come back to that quiet listening space, and do it as long as you can. Might be a minute, might be five. If you're really, really just amazingly disciplined, might be more. Sometimes as a pastor, I get asked, you know, what's the best prayer? What's the right prayer? The Lord's Prayer is kind of the Sunday school answer, right? The Jesus answer. It's good. Like I said, it covers a lot. We've got help. We've got thanks. We've got wow. And Jesus himself told us to pray that way. So we should probably be praying that way at least once a week, probably once a day, if not more, right? Jesus in Matthew talks about the need to pray all the time. Paul talks about pray incessantly, always. Constantly. But the right prayer is kind of like the right gym or the right car. It's the right thing that works for you. The right prayer is the prayer that you can pray every day. The right prayer is the one that you are able to do in a way that is consistent and aligns with Scripture and brings some spiritual meaning to your life. Right? The Lord's Prayer is probably going to do all those things. I think it will. I would encourage you to try it every day if you don't already. But some of the other things we've talked about here, the classic definitions of prayer, the centering and listening prayers, contemplative prayer, can be the right prayers too. We talked about the disciples. You know, the Psalms are an incredibly rich, rich supply of prayer. There's 150 psalms. Some of them are a couple lines long. Some of them are pages long. All of them include prayers of people who are going through everything that we go through in life. There's a lot of help. There's a lot of thanks. There's a lot of wow in the psalms. And so if you want to pray beyond just the Lord's Prayer, but you're not sure where to start, I would encourage you to turn to Psalm 1 and start there. Or to Psalm, what's the most popular psalm, the one that people read pretty much every time we have a funeral? 23, right? There are opportunities that we have when we read Scripture, especially when we pray through the Psalms, to connect with God, but also to connect with the people of God who wrote these psalms down when they were going through the biggest moments of their lives, when they were going through the biggest victories and celebrations like weddings and births. And also when they had gone through the worst defeats, and they said, it is so hard for me to even think about worshiping the Lord, and yet, I know God is with me. I can't muster up the strength to strum my harp. And yet, there is still hope for me. Those are some of the things that we find in the Psalms. Those are some of the things that our spirit can resonate with when we go to the Psalms and see that other people, people who were faithful and loved God just as we love God, were going through the highest highs and the lowest lows of their lives, and yet found God to be present, to be good, and to be actively at work in bringing salvation to them. And if nothing else, we can always turn to Romans chapter 8, verse 26, where the apostle writes, "Likewise, the Holy Spirit helps us in our weaknesses, for we do not know what to pray as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings and sighs too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God." Sometimes when you don't feel like you have the right mood, the right spirit yourself, you have the Holy Spirit who, when you are struggling to find any word, to find any time to go to God in prayer, you know that the Holy Spirit is still with you and in you and helping you to pray, even when it's just groans and sighs that are deeper than any word we could ever proclaim out loud. We know where the bread is. We know what door to knock on. It's just up to us to keep knocking, to keep going to God in prayer. Would you please pray with me now? Help, thanks, wow. Jesus, every day we have opportunities to say these things. We ask that by your Holy Spirit we would have the strength and the discipline to say them throughout our day, throughout our life, that we could find your presence and find you to be good even in the midst of our struggles and our routines. So God, we ask for your gift of prayer. We ask that we could take what you have taught us and to use it and to pray every day to find you in the midst of our lives and to find that you are indeed good, to taste and see, just as Ezekiel tasted the scroll, that you are good, that you are with us, that you are for us, that we can go forward because of who you have shown yourself to be. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Please stand.